It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
And welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, March the 12th, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas, where South by Southwest has begun. I believe this week is the film and tech week, and next week is music. So people are coming in from all over the world to Austin, Texas, and we are in Austin, staying a little bit away from the crowd today to broadcast the show. And we're here with another great program, and Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here to run the show. And we have another great program for you with really important information and great guests. So right after the break, in a few moments, we will have longtime Boston Globe economics and finance reporter. She was a former reporter for The Economist and currently a researcher for the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Kimberly Blanton will join us once again from Boston. And this time, Kim will talk about what we all need to know about preparing for retirement, whether retirement is right around the corner or if it's something that's a long way off. We all need to prepare no matter our age. And then later in the program, friends of the program, Renee and Jim Alphonse, they are regulars to this program, the musical duo Ragtop, to join us from Roanoke, Virginia, to talk about their latest adventures in music. And I will be talking about caring for ourselves as caregivers. So there are many types of caregivers, and you might discover that you are a caregiver, even if you didn't know it, even if you hadn't thought of yourself that way. And so I will talk about how to prevent burnout and compassion fatigue for caregivers. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. And you can hear this evening's program by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast, along with any links to websites given by my guests on the program, will be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning. And you can also hear the podcast of this entire program as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. For information from previous shows and updates about upcoming shows, to read my blog from Huffington Post and Thrive Global, and to find out any other information related to this show, and to listen to previous shows, okay? All of that is at my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And also, all of the podcasts are at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. So you can hear all of the previous programs that we have done on Blog Talk Radio. And also, if you follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, You'll get all the latest in news and information about this program, about my blogs, and anything else that we are currently doing. And you'll get all the links to upcoming shows as they right before they are on. So you'll, you know, up to the minute information if you go to my Facebook page. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website at heroesnightout.org. And if you want to contact me, you have a question or a comment, you can send me an email to Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or you can contact me through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Scytha Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can email him at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-752. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, play a couple of commercials, and when we come back, we will be joined by researcher for the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, Kimberly Blanton, who is going to talk about preparing for retirement, no matter our age. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And joining me on the phone from Boston, Massachusetts, we have a researcher for the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, Kim Blanton, to talk about preparing for retirement, whether it's around the corner or a long time away. Welcome, Kim. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be on your show again. Good evening. Yes, earlier and the further away from retirement you plan, the better.
Yeah, right. So this is for everybody.
Yes.
Just to remind you, there's a slight delay when we talk like this, so just want to make sure you know that. So how are things in Boston? I heard that you guys are getting hit pretty hard with winter weather.
Well, as you know, I lived in Texas for more than 4 years, and I know spring is just springing. I remember the iris stand in my backyard was going crazy about now. Here, it was, I think, 8 degrees this morning and like 6 or 7 o'clock, and we are going to get slammed with a major snowstorm on Tuesday.
Yes, what
even,
I heard.
Which even in Boston is unusual. So, but, you know, we'll survive, so. We're pretty tough by March after the winters that we usually go through, so we'll make it.
Yeah. You guys have all the equipment to take care of the snow, so you're prepared.
Snowblowers.
We wouldn't survive. As you know, we would not survive here in Texas with that kind of snow.
I know.
So Kim, for listeners who haven't heard you before on this program, can you give a little bit about your background?
I would be glad to. The reason I was in Texas, I was a financial and economics reporter for the Dallas Times Herald. And then I moved to Boston. Actually, it's been a while, 1991, and I worked for the Boston Globe for almost 20 years, also covering financial economic topics. I wrote for the magazine. And I left the Globe, I think, around in 2008. And I had one other job in between, but I am now and have been for quite a while at this Boston College think tank called the Center for Retirement Research. And as the name implies, we do a ton of research on retirement. If I could sum up what the center does in a nutshell, is that we want to make sure middle class people can afford to retire, basically. So as part of that, being at that center, I just write a blog. The research stuff, we try to make it as easy to understand and accessible as possible. It's still research. It's pretty heavy going. But I write a blog that I try to make fun. And I know you've read it, so hopefully you'll agree it's pretty easy reading.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even I can understand it. I'm not an expert in economics, so far from it.
Well, my background as just a regular newspaper reporter, I'm trying to write stuff that anybody can understand. So so I write about both personal finance and retirement, and the blog is called Squared Away.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about retirement. What are some of the issues that people are facing now in dealing with the whole issue of retirement?
You know, there is a whole array of non-financial issues. You know, what's a good age to retire? Where do I want to live? Like, my husband and I are thinking Arizona, maybe Florida, where I have some family. get out of these winters.
Uh-huh.
You know, what am I going to do when I retire? You know, sometimes a full stop after you've worked your whole life can be very difficult. Do you have grandkids? Is that going to play into things? Do you want to work part-time instead of full-time? So there are a lot of sort of life issues, what do you want to do in your golden years? And then there are also financial issues. Unfortunately, according to the research we've done here, more than half of all Americans, whatever their age, if you look out into their retirement age, when they're retiring, whether they're 30 now or they're 50 now, when you sort of project out how much money they're going to have in retirement, more than half of Americans do not have enough money to retire on. So it's a big number, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In addition to all those fun things about retirement, maybe you want to travel and things like that, the hard part is the finances. People don't have enough saved. Maybe they're in debt. I just wrote a blog that ran last week. Only about 1 in 4 retirees has dental insurance, believe it, or 1 in 3 retirees, sorry, has dental insurance. Like, you know, there are a lot of things to think about in terms of financially when you retire. Luckily, there mm-hmm. are things you can do, even if you're a baby boomer. So hopefully they won't change the channel on us. There are things that you can do, but the financial issue is definitely, I think, the big issue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because if you want to travel in your retirement, you really need to think about having the money to do that. Right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, definitely. And I think we all have sort of dreams for retirement. And honestly, you know, keeping the big issue the way that the researchers here think about it, which is a really easy way for anybody to think about it, makes a lot of sense, common sense. You don't want your standard of living to decline when you're retired. You know, you want to
right.
keep living at that same level you've been working while you were that you were living on when you were working. So that's kind
mm-hmm.
of the standard, basically, for it.
Right, right. So now what advice do you have for those of us who are thinking about retiring?
Yeah, as more and more of us are, because I don't know about you, but I am a baby boomer. I'm going to turn 60 this year, so my husband and I have been talking about it.
I'm at the very end of the baby boom. So
are
I'm
you? Oh, good.
50, I'm turning 55, so I have
okay.
a few more years. Mm-hmm.
You probably have maybe good 10 years if you want to, or maybe more. Who knows?
Maybe more. So, I think probably more.
yeah. Well, I think, you know, there are basically three things that baby boomers especially need to think about. We can talk about younger people as well. And the first one is true of anybody, no matter what your age. You know, financial issues are really, really, they're difficult. You know, they're not fun. I suppose it would be fun if you had enough money or too much money, but they're not fun when you feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck, or you feel like, you know, you're worried you're not saving much. You haven't gotten the mortgage paid as much on the mortgage you want, or you're 30 something and you're paying student loans or whatever. And, you know, one of the big things that I've really realized as a financial reporter and writer is a lot of times the wrong people are getting the financial help. The people who are getting
mm-hmm.
the financial help, or the people who are thinking about retirement or about how do I get my finances in shape, are the people who are already in good shape. You know, and you, Dr. Carpell, are a psychologist. People, as you know way better than I do, people run away from things that they feel overwhelmed by and they don't deal
Absolutely.
With
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't think finance is any different. In fact, it's probably at the top of the list. One of the
mm-hmm.
things at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little more so for women. But maybe they can understand this from a psychological point of view. So, you know, don't put your head in the sand, I guess, is my first advice. Even if you're a baby boomer and you're terrified, there are things you can do and things that our researchers have looked at, and I can talk about them a little bit.
Great.
I think I've – yeah, here we go. Now, I'm not going to rescue anybody, but I'll tell you something. So,
uh-huh.
So one of the things, and tell me if I've repeated this before, but I just feel like it can't bear repeating more. You know, the best thing you can do, especially if you're a baby boomer, is unfortunately delay your retirement. But here's why. Every year that you delay your Social Security, you will add about 7 or 8% to the check you get deposited into your bank account every month.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big percentage. If you, the first year you're allowed to claim your Social Security is 62, if you wait until you're 70, that monthly check will be 70% bigger than if you had claimed when you were 62.
Wow.
So,
that's
yeah.
significant.
Yes, it is. Well, 100% is doubling. So you're on, you know, you're a good way there.
Yeah.
So anywhere along the way, if you retire at 65, you get more than you retire at 62. And I think some people know this, probably already know this, but one of the things that everybody talks about is this break-even issue. Oh, I want to, you know, I don't want to hold off on getting my benefit because I'm not getting my money now. And if I die, I won't get enough money. You know, the fact of the matter is you got to have money every month to live on. So the more you have every month, especially if you feel like you can't really afford to retire, the better. So this mm-hmm. issue of delay is really important to think about. And we can talk a little bit, because a lot of older workers especially are just tired of working. And there are things that you can do there. The other thing, too, is this is more true of young people. If you're thinking about retirement, is just understanding how Social Security works. Another aspect of Social Security is that the Social Security Administration bases your benefits on your salary over 35 years. So if you're in your 20s and you get into a job where you're not contributing to Social Security, maybe you're driving Uber, and I don't know if Uber drivers contribute to Social Security, but some kind of a contract work where you're not contributing to Social Security when you're young. You know, when you get older and you want to retire, you know, you may not have the 35 years that are going to maximize your benefits. So, because you may have a bunch of zeros at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
For those first four or five years or whatever. And they use 35 years and they go, well, we've got you, we see you contributed to Social Security for 30 years, but what were you doing those first 5 years? You're not in here. Your benefit's going to be lower because you didn't contribute. So this is something that I think young people, maybe they're starting their own business, kind of need to think about. It's a factor, and it's becoming increasingly become a factor as retirement is getting more affordable.
Now, I have a question about that. Aren't you required, mm-hmm. if you're in your own business, aren't you required to contribute to your Social Security?
Yes, you are. But listen, you know, I have, frankly, I've always worked for institutions, so I just automatically contribute to Social Security. And Uber may have been a bad example. But I do think there are, you know, I do think there are jobs where people get paid cash under the table.
Oh, okay. So under the table kind of jobs.
They may be working on their own, but they're not really officially incorporated. You know, there are different ways that this can happen. I don't know, Myra, honestly, to the extent to which you can do that if you're self-employed. My brother's a self-employed construction worker, and he does contribute to Social Security. That brings up another thing. When I work for Boston College, Boston College puts in something like, I think, 7.5% of my salary into Social Security for my future retirement benefit. I, out of my salary, pay the other 7.5% into Social Security. That's 15%, right, of my salary. Half BC, half me is going into Social Security to pay for my future benefits. And those are on my Social Security account. My brother is self-employed, 15%. He has to pay the whole 15% because he doesn't have an employer. That's another thing a young person needs to think about. So, you know, it's good to know how Social Security works. And, in fact, I wrote a blog called something like 35 years of work. It's sort of how all these decisions can affect your benefits when you get older. So it's a good thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, especially for baby boomers, I think, but it doesn't hurt for anybody, maybe you don't want to get into a complicated relationship with a financial advisor that you're seeing all the time. But I just hired a financial advisor for a few hours work to analyze my and my husband's finances and tell me what kind of shape we're in. And this is a really eye-opening thing to do, and I strongly recommend it.
I agree, and I think I told you this, that I recently hired a financial advisor from this show, actually. She was on a program and
mm-hmm.
specializing in women, because you brought up the issue that women have particularly, we have our own issues related to finance. And it's scary to hire a financial advisor because you're having to like be honest about your finances and all the mistakes you might have made. And I think people feel emotionally, you know, attached to that. They feel embarrassed and, oh my goodness, what
mm-hmm.
have I been doing? I'm so embarrassed. But I think, you know, you realize that it's, you know, everybody makes mistakes, especially if you don't really know too much about finance. And, you know, it's not about judgment. You know, it really has been helpful. I think, you know, a financial advisor is not going to judge that. They're just going to tell you, okay, this is what you need to do moving forward.
Yes. Well, honestly, I think just like probably a psychologist who someone comes to see, I think financial advisors react the same way. They are thrilled that you want their advice. And that's why they do what they do, right? They want to help people. So they're really an ally. They're not, you know, they're not there to peer into your finances, although they have to do that. But that's, you know, that they're doing it for because they want to help you. And I think that's an excellent point.
Right. And I think what you said earlier also applies to this, which is really important for people to realize, is that there are things that they can do to get back onto a better path. And so an advisor can kind of help you know what you need to do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And they can look, they'll look at everything. You know, she projected out, my husband's a teacher. He's got a small pension. She projected out my 401k. How much is that going to be worth? Not much is the answer, but at least now I know. You know, she went through our bank account and figured out, you know, what's our life like now? What kind of standard of living do we have? Can we maintain it in retirement? Which, you know, it's going to be tight. It's definitely going to be tighter, you know, and all of this was just really invaluable. And it gets back to what you said too. Not only are people embarrassed to show their finances, but also some people just are putting, you know, will put their head in the sand. So those two things together can really, really mesh up later. It's better to look at it while you can still do something about it. And again, to allay some of your people's fears, there are things that you can do about it, even when you're older. So.
Right. Right. So that kind of brought up the next question, which was, you know, I'm turning 55. Is it too late for me?
No.
Okay.
Well, the first thing is, if there's anybody out there who's listening who's younger, you really do need to just save, get the company, if the company's matching, you've got to sign up for that 401k. That's free money. You know, also, I have a chart on my blog that talks about, this is a really kind of eye-opening. If you want to retire at 65 and you're only 25 years old right now and you want to retire in 40 years, you only have to save about 15% of your pay, okay, 15%. If you wait until you're 35 to save, you're up to about 20% of your pay, 24%.
Mm.
You know, every year that you wait to start saving in your 401k, you know, the more you got to save. The bigger hit you're going to take.
Right.
So that's for the younger people. Now, for the old people like us, Dr. Carpel, it really isn't too late. I think it's really important to understand, first of all, as I've said before, and I will say it probably a zillion times before I quit doing this job, your biggest asset is often, for regular middle-class people, is your Social Security. Understand how it works. Understand what happens if you delay. Go online. You have a Social Security account online. All you have to do is set it up using your Social Security number, and you can look it up. They estimate your benefits, and it's not an estimate out in the from nowhere. It's an estimate based on your record of earnings. So you can get in there and look, how much will I get when I'm 62, how much will I get when I'm 65, et cetera. They're not really sending out the paper statements like they used to be. Another thing that's really interesting is, you know, some people can be helped a lot by working two or three more years. You don't have to work until you're 80. You might be helped by working a couple more years. And when you run the numbers, you may see that. And one of the really interesting things that, one of the really interesting pieces of research someone at my center has done is, my husband's a teacher and he's been doing it a long time and he's just, frankly, a little worn out by it. It's very challenging. He's in the inner city. You know, people say, I can't do this job anymore. I got to retire. I don't care what the consequences are, right? But one of the things our researchers found is that if people find a new job that they really like when they're in their 50s and it's still not so hard to change jobs, they will actually work longer because they're less stressed, right? That maybe the job is less physically demanding, more satisfying, they enjoy it more. And, you know, that can make it a little easier to work a little bit longer. So not everybody's good at finding new jobs, but right now the economy's booming. This is probably a good time if somebody thinks, I can't make it to 65 or whatever in this job. You know, that's another thing to think about. And then, you know, so those are, and then just figuring out where you're at. You know, are you, you know, will you have to downsize, maybe get a less expensive house? You know, maybe you're living, I've heard many stories of people living in the house they raise their kids in. It's got five bedrooms, you know. One real extreme case was a acquaintance of mine from work. His mother was living in a house, seriously, with five bedrooms. She was living in about two or three rooms on the first floor. The rest of the house was completely wasted. And she often didn't have enough money to go to the grocery store. So,
wow.
You know, yeah. So some people have home equity, and you can, you know, that's an asset that you can figure out how to use. Either you might downsize, or you might, you know, and you got to be careful, make sure you know what you're doing. But you could take out a reverse mortgage after you retire. That can bring more money into the house. So there are things that can be done.
And do you find that it's helpful if people, you know, there are a lot of people who want to keep doing something, they just don't want to work a full-time job, or they don't want to do the, like you said, the job that they've been doing all these years. I mean, does it help, would you say, for people to start being creative and maybe starting their own little small business, or, you know?
If starting a business is hard, you know, do you think it'll fly? You know, is it going to take a big investment, or are you making pies and you can sell them or whatever, something more clever than that. But part-time work too, say you don't want to work full-time after 64, but you can find a part-time job. That is really going to make that money that you do have saved for retirement last longer. As I mentioned, my brother's a construction worker, and we talked about, you know, what's he going to do when he retires, and he's only 57 now, but you know, there are all these people at Home Depot who know all about, my brother can fix anything, right? He'd be like a great person to work at Home Depot to help you figure out how to fix something. Or, you know, teaching a vocational class in, you know, construction, woodworking, whatever it is.
Right.
And it might be a fun job, you know, because one of the other things, as I mentioned before, this idea of full stop in retirement, a lot of people get bored. That has happened. Some people are really good at self-motivating and keeping moving, and they've always got a lot of pots on the stove. But some people do get bored in retirement. So thinking, what could I do part-time? I might be happier. I might have a little bit of something to make my schedule work better, and I'd be bringing in some money to keep what I've got, what I'm making, going longer. So that is definitely
right.
A good idea. Yeah.
Right. And if you've been doing something for many years, then you can be a good consultant in that field,
yep,
or teacher, as you mentioned.
Or even, you know, even teachers, because my husband's a teacher, I know that teachers become tutors, you know, for kids in private schools. They get paid, you know, they get paid up here, at least in Boston. The cost of living here is ridiculous, but they get, you know, $100 an hour tutoring. So there are definitely things that can be done. But, you know, you can't put your head in the sand. You got to start thinking and exploring, which is what I do to my husband all the time. What are you going to do when you retire?
So let me ask you, I know you may not have an answer for this, but is there anything in particular that we need to do differently in our retirement planning right now with this new administration?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I don't, when it comes to investing, first of all, our advice to people is not, don't play the market, don't try to pick stocks, just put the money in an index fund. Over time, the stock market goes up, right? And an index fund, for people that don't know, is basically a big basket of stocks that basically tracks the stock market, whether it's the S&P 500 stock market, or you could get one for the Dow, you could get one. So just put the money in a really diverse basket of stocks and forget about it. Since most people are investing in these, or should be investing in index funds, you know, buying oil company stocks. I know you guys are in Texas buying oil company stocks, or because they're going to go up, or selling your solar stocks when they go down. A lot of these individual companies are going to be affected by the really, really very different policies in some cases of the Trump administration than the Obama administration. But I don't have money in individual stocks. I just frankly don't worry about that kind of thing. But, you know, the stock market's going up a lot right now, and I kind of wonder, is it going to go down? You know,
uh-huh.
So people who are closer to retirement might think, do I really want all my money in the U.S. stock market? I don't know the answer to that, and none of us can see into the future, but I am kind of wrestling with that even personally, you know, because things could change. Also, some people like to do social investing. They like to put their money in certain things, and there was an article in Investment News that said that, you know, that might change under the Trump administration. Right now, though, the most important questions are what's going to happen to Medicare and Social Security for sort of middle-class retirees, which, as I said, my research center is the most interested in. Right now, we're not hearing a lot about Medicare or Social Security being affected. You know, all the focus is on Obamacare. You know, so far so good, I guess. I don't think those programs are – you know, some people would like to see some of the benefits improved in Social Security because they have been declining lately. I don't really see that happening. Whether any other reforms to the program, we haven't really heard anything yet. So now Medicaid is undergoing a lot of discussion in Washington right now. And one of the things that Medicaid pays for is long-term care. If you become destitute, if you run out
right.
of your money in if you run out of money in retirement and you have to go into a long-term care facility, Medicaid is what pays for long-term care for the elderly who cannot remain in their homes anymore, and they're out of money, and they run out of money. So they're talking about what could be major, major cuts to Medicaid. And, you know, we don't really know more than the broad outlines of that right now. So that could potentially be a big thing. But this is all part of the Obamacare repeal-replace debate. And it's really unclear how much support there is for any of that right now and what's going to get passed. So it's a little hard to tell right now. But that's something to kind of watch.
Right.
You know, keep an eye on in the future. But again, the bread and butter for most people's retirement is Social Security. We have not heard anything about cuts. And I believe Trump said that he would not make cuts to Social Security in the campaign, although I would have to look that up to confirm it, but I believe he did say that. So,
Okay. Well,
you will see,
yeah,
right?
I know there's people that are retiring now are a lot more vocal than previous retirees. So I'm sure if those things are cut, we're going to hear from them.
Well, I don't know if you remember, Dr. Karpel, but probably 20 years ago, they tried to make some kind of change to Medicare. I think it was some kind of a change in the way prescription drugs. This was before the Part D prescription drug program that George Bush put in. I'm talking even before that. They made some change to Medicare, and the elderly population in this country went ballistic, and they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually repealed it. So, you know, the kind of the AARP
old people's lobby is pretty strong in this country. But things are changing a lot right now, so it's a little hard to tell. We'd all like to have an answer to some of those questions, I think.
Right. Hey, so there, I'm losing you.
Oh.
I lost you first. I lost the last few words.
But I guess we're going to have to just wait and see. We'd all like to know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, Kim, if people are interested in reading your blog or even maybe having it appear in their email, in their inbox, how can they do that?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I'd love it. And like I said, I do try to write in a way that people can understand. And there's a search box. You can search any topic you're interested in. The name of the blog is, it's pretty easy to understand. If you Google Squared Away blog and Boston College, you will find it. The URL for people who are more techies, it's squaredawayblog.bc.edu. It's BC for Boston College.
Okay.
And then on the web, on the home page, if you just go down, there's a, on the right, if you scroll down a little bit, it says sign up for Squared Away Alerts, which are these weekly alerts that just tell you, here are the headlines for the week. And we only put out 2 blogs a week, so it's not like reading the New York Times. And, you know, they're bite-sized, and hopefully some people will be great if they, some Texans, more Texans will sign up.
Yeah, I will on my blog, my website post about this. This show. So when people go to my web post about this program, they can just click on it. It'll take them to your blog, your website for your blog, squaredawayblog.bc.edu. Yeah. So much, Kim, for coming back on the program.
I'm always happy to talk to my former homestead, people near my former homestead in Texas. So thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. And I'd love to have you back on sometime soon. Maybe maybe after we know what's happening in the our country. Yep.
I do want to look into that Medicaid question for the blogs, among others. So thank you, Dr. Karpel.
Okay. All right. You take care and stay warm and stay safe in the snow.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break, and we have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are 3 easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show. Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years right here on Blog Talk Radio, on live stream and podcast at Dr. Mara Karpel. All right. And so before I talk about caring for ourselves as caregivers, just to fill you in on the news a little bit, as you may know, if you are a regular listener of this program, I am a contributor to Arianna Huffington's new online magazine, ThriveGlobal.com. And now 6 of my blogs have recently published there, with the latest 2 blogs published just this past week. And they were both published on Friday. In honor of Women's History Month, I published a 2-part blog that Women in Power. And if you had been reading my blogs when I was in Huffington Post, yes, these are similar to the blog that I posted in Huffington. They're a repost of the blog from Huffington Post last March for Women's History Month. But it's always good to reread this information if you have read it before, and if not, now there's a new place where you can read it. It's Women in Power, Finding a Voice No Matter Our Age. And you can read those blogs, plus all of my previous blogs and all of my year and a half worth of blogs from Huffington Post, just by going to my website. Just go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and click on blogs or click on publications. Either one of those places will take you to all of my previous blogs. And or you can also go to thriveglobal.com and put in my name, and it'll bring you to my page with the whole list of my blogs. You can do the same for huffingtonpost.com and put in my name, and it'll bring you to my page with all of the blogs I posted for them. And if you follow me on Facebook, as I mentioned earlier, every time I post a blog, every time it gets published, I put the link right on Facebook. So you know right away when there's a new blog that has been published, and you'll get the link that'll take you right to the blog to read it. So, you know, the easiest thing is to just like my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And my book, as I've mentioned in previous shows, is almost done. We are working on the last parts of getting it together to go to publication, and we'll be starting to let out bits of information about it. If you follow me on Facebook and on Instagram, again, just look up my name, Mara Carpel, as well as Twitter. You'll find these previews of information about it, and stay tuned because this will be the first book of several. And also stay connected for more news, as there are some more pieces of news, interesting things that are happening coming your way soon. I'm going to leave it as a surprise, so just stay tuned. Then that's all, and you'll find out. Okay. So, now, later on, Ragtop will be joining us, the musical duo, but let me talk for a bit about caring for ourselves as caregivers. And as I mentioned in the introduction, there are many types of caregivers, and you might discover that you're actually a caregiver and you didn't know it. You never thought of yourself that way before. But there is energy that you're putting into caring for another. And I want to talk about how to prevent burnout and compassion fatigue, whether you're, and especially if you're a 24-hour caregiver for a loved one, but also even if you're someone who is far away from your loved one, but you are on the phone with them, you're on the phone with the people who are caring for them more directly, you're flying to see them. I myself am, I guess you would term, a long-distance caregiver for my mom, who's in New York. So obviously I'm here in Austin, Texas. I'm not involved in direct care, and she's thankfully doing pretty well, and she's in assisted living, so she has people that are caring for her when she needs it. But I speak with her daily, and I keep up with my brother who lives close to her, and he takes care of more of her needs, daily sort of things, financial issues and making sure that everything is okay with the care that she's receiving. But I keep up with that, and if an issue comes up, I'm on the phone with the professionals there, or if my brother is out of town, I'm the backup if an emergency happens. And I visit her several times a year. So thankfully she's doing right now, so there's not a lot of stress involved. But there have been times where things have been, you know, kind of tedious, tenuous in her situation, and it took a lot more energy and a lot more of my time. And then, of course, when my father was still living and he had gotten sick, that you know, that I was on the phone all of the time. So even though you may be, you know, thousands of miles from your loved one, but if you're involved, you're still a caregiver. And currently I have a friend who is in her last stage of life, and she has asked me and some of her other friends to help her find the right environment, to find the right caregivers. And it's been a roller coaster. And even though I'm not involved in direct care, I'm involved time-wise and emotionally. And, you know, I've written about this in my last blog in Thrive Global and have spoken about it before, that there's a lot of benefit to giving and to being kind and compassionate, even if it's not someone who's in your immediate family, even if you may not ever get thanked for it. There's a lot of benefit to us and to the world when we're kind and compassionate. But there's also, you know, when we are right in the middle of it, it can be very draining. And especially if somebody is a 24-hour caregiver for a loved one, it's easy to lose yourself and to put all of your own needs on the back burner, feeling that your needs are trivial when compared to the life and death issues that are being faced by your loved one. But it's important for you to know that it's not your needs are not trivial. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, if you don't take care of yourself, then you will not only become depleted with nothing left to give to your loved one, the cup will be empty. But you can find yourself in a very serious health issue or even emotional issue that can be life and or death. So, you know, it's important to know that the statistics show that caregivers suffer much higher rates of physical and emotional disorders than the regular population, and especially somebody who is a 24-hour caregiver. So it's our responsibility, even if we're taking care of somebody else, whether 24 hours a day, we're just involved, however we are in their care, that it's our responsibility to find peace within ourselves and take care of our needs, because otherwise we're not going to be there to take care of their needs. So let me give you some statistics. Many of the caregivers these days are adult children who are baby boomers caring for elderly parents while dealing with their own issues of aging. And some of these adult children are what we might call the sandwich generation, worrying about their own children, who are might be what many call boomerang children, returning home after moving away because of their own financial situation. And then there are caregivers who are spouses caring for their longtime partner, while having to take care of their own increasing health issues as they're aging. So, you know, most of the time when we talk about, you know, health issues, we're talking about, and caregiving, we're focusing on the person who's being cared for and what are their needs. But there are many situations where the, you know, the caregiver has a lot of needs and may even have more needs than the person that they're caring for because they put their needs on the back burner. AARP did a study a few years ago that estimated for more than 40 million Americans caring for an elderly or disabled loved one, the total value of their work was, and I think this has increased since this study was done, I don't remember what year this was, but I saw this a few years ago. But at that point, they estimated that the total value of the work of caregivers getting for free was $450 billion per year. That's with a B, $450 billion per year. And the study also found that by that same study by AARP found that those who cut back on their work in order to take care of a loved one lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in their income over a lifetime. Research has also found that caregivers are more prone to depression, to physical illness, and to social isolation. And this is increasing as the baby boomers are moving into older age themselves, and many still are caring for elderly parents. So, you know, there are many hazards to being a caregiver, especially if you're a caregiver, a 24-hour caregiver, or even several-hour caregiver, several hours a week. And the emotional and physical experiences of the caregiver often involve anger, anxiety, depression, isolation, exhaustion, and then feelings of guilt because they feel like they shouldn't be focused on their own feelings, and they don't take care of their own feelings, and that leads them to have more serious emotional distress and physical illness. If we bury our feelings, it only leads to worse emotional disorders like severe depression or anxiety or illness. And, you know, I've talked about this before, the link that depression has been linked to many health issues like high blood pressure, increased arterial sclerosis, and increased risk factors for that are connected with heart attacks and strokes, and lowered immune functioning, leading to many different immune disorders, including cancer. And anxiety, chronic stress, which are really big issues for caregivers, are linked to pretty much deterioration in every single organ of the human body. So it can lead to high blood pressure, migraine, headaches, ulcers, asthma and respiratory conditions, diabetes, osteoporosis, immune and inflammatory diseases, susceptibility to colds and flu, exacerbation of immune diseases that somebody already has, like cancer or any other immune disorder, and worsening of conditions like arthritis, chronic pain, diabetes, and an onset of depression. So anxiety and depression are extremely closely linked. Somebody is under chronic stress and feeling very anxious, it can lead to a clinical depression. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit about how to, well, let me first talk a little bit about burnout. So we often hear the word burnout, and burnout is stress that's characterized by over-involvement, being overly emotional, and feeling a sense of urgency all of the time, that there's always something that needs to be taken care of, always fires that need to be put out, which can lead to anxiety, and then this, over a long period of time, prolonged period of time, can lead to burnout, which is characterized by no longer caring, feeling no emotion, feeling helpless or hopeless, feeling detached, and having no motivation. So you're on the go, trying to always the person that you're caring for, and then after a while you have no motivation and you don't even care anymore. And it kind of looks like depression, but when it's burnout, it starts out very specific to this. About their job. So when they're away from the caregiving responsibilities of work, they might not feel detached and hopeless and helpless, it's really very specific. But as that burnout continues, even in that specific realm, it becomes pervasive and it starts to infiltrate every aspect of your life, which is depression. When you have a pervasive feeling of hopelessness, helplessness, lack of motivation, lack of enjoyment, you're depressed. And, you know, depression leads to, as I mentioned, leads to all sorts of health issues. And it really, you know, it can be very life, very destructive to your life. So it's really important, if you are already at that point, to help, to speak to a professional, whether it's a psychologist or your family doctor or psychologist, social worker, any sort of mental health counselor. It's important, if you are already feeling, to talk to somebody and get some help. But talk about preventing those feelings and about how to keep from becoming depressed, just in general. And I think that those tips are really important, even specifically. It's really important to realize that caregiving takes a toll on you, to take some time to take care of yourself. And I think that's probably the most important message that a caregiver can get. And it's something I've had to remind myself of when I've gotten into that state of mind of constantly feeling the urgency that there's something that needs to be done. That if we don't take care of ourselves, then we will not be there for the person that we're taking care of or for anybody else, because we'll be completely depleted. We may get sick. We are a better caregiver and a better friend and family member if we can find our own inner peace. And it's really important to do that in no matter the situation, but especially when you're a caregiver. And so let me just talk about the general things that I think apply to everybody, whether you're a caregiver or not, to help you to be able to prevent becoming depressed and burnt out and to give yourself self-care. Number one is to relax, to find a way to relax, to practice relaxation. And relaxation, when I say this, yes, it is great. It's really important to do things that you love and that you find relaxing, like watching your favorite program on TV. And I think it's really important for a caregiver to make time for do that, for doing that. But I think in this specific example, when I talk about relaxation, I mean having a practice of relaxation of body and mind in order to cope with stress and prevent depression. So practicing some form of stillness where we focus on our breathing, or Kane, the yoga teacher, using yoga as a moving meditation, but something that is meditation means focusing on one thing. So if we can find one thing to focus on, whether it's our breath or a yoga practice or a walk in nature, then what happens is that it starts to reduce the production of the stress hormones. When we're in that stress reaction of constantly needing to take care of someone, or we have a feeling of urgency or worry, we produce cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline. We're constantly in that fight or flight instinct, and that is what causes a lot of the health issues for us, is that constant production of these stress hormones. So by focusing on our breathing and focusing on yoga, focusing in meditation, going for a walk in nature, it actually decreases these chemicals, cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, or epinephrine, norepinephrine, and it puts us into relaxation mode. And when we're in a relaxation state of mind where our heart is lower, our breathing is deeper and slower, those mood elevating chemicals, and we start to have solutions to our difficulties. So find a way to relax. And then secondly, we need to get some exercise. Really important to exercise in order to release that adrenaline and to release the tension. So getting exercise however you enjoy. I've had Jeremy Robinson on this program talking about the benefits of exercise and how it the health benefits and many emotional benefits to exercise. And again, yoga can be a form of exercise in addition to being a moving meditation, where you might try dancing or walking or going to the gym and working with a trainer. All of these things will help you to build resilience to the stress that's going on in your life as a caregiver. And socialize. Make time to see friends or family that you can talk about other things with, or even talk about the stress of being a caregiver, but be around other people. I think one of the biggest issues that affects caregivers is this isolation. They're constantly with the person that they are caring for or talking to professionals about that person, but they don't make time to socialize for themselves, and that causes more depression. So make time to socialize. Make time to get out in nature. These things will help with your mood, which is, and your health, which is really important as a caregiver. So some practical stress-reducing advice for caregivers. You know, similar to what Kim Blanton was with regard to sciences, apply rather than avoiding stressful situation by not finding out the information, sticking your head in the sand, having all the information about what is going on with the person that you're caring for, as well as what resources there are out there, are all really important in increasing your feeling of power or control and reducing your feeling of help debt for your loved one and for yourself. Don't expect that you're going to be able to do a whole list of things for your loved one that you really, you know, that are just, you have to be Superman or Superwoman to accomplish all this. And don't expect that your loved one who you're caring for is going to react in a very positive way right away or feel totally at peace because of the care you're giving them. Be realistic in your goals. Otherwise, you're going to feel more hopeless and helpless because it'll be difficult for you to have achieved those goals. And understand that caregiving is frequently a stressful activity. So don't be critical of yourself when you feel stressed out or you feel irritated at times. That's just normal. And by being critical of yourself, you're just increasing your stress. And take advantage of rest services. If you're a 24-hour caregiver, take advantage of whatever services there are available to you. And one more tip for caregivers is to join a support group. Caregiver support groups can be extremely beneficial to get the support that you need and to find out what other people are doing as caregivers. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have Jim and Renee Oliphant. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show. Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, cause it's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you.
In your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to the musical duo Ragtop, Jim and Renee Oliphant, who are now joining us on the phone once again from Roanoke, Virginia. Good evening, guys. Are you there?
Yeah, Doctor, we're here. Thank you for having us back.
All right. Thank you for being back on the program.
We appreciate it. We finished up our CD, and we're anxious to get back on with you.
Oh, great. How are things going in Virginia?
We're good. We're good. We're playing a lot and enjoying it. We've had no winter here yet. They talk like we might have one this week, but we've had a real mild winter. It's been great for loading and unloading gear and playing music, so it's been a good one. We've stayed busy and finished the CD up, and it released last month on, I think it was the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been busy promoting that, too. It's been good.
All right. And a new CD out?
Yeah, it is available now. The songs listened to today are on that. The CD is out, and you can actually listen to the songs or purchase the CD on our website at www.myragtop.com.
All right. So, and you said the last song that we played, and you came on, was from your new CD?
Yeah, that was a classic. That goes way back, 1929. That was Ain't Misbehavin' by Fats Waller, and that was our arrangement of that. We kind of got the idea to put that on simply, there was another artist that we really enjoy his music, acoustic artist named Jack Johnson. And on one of his CDs, we're just really into the groove of his music, listening, and all of a sudden there's this real short French song that comes on in the middle of everything. It may not even be 30 seconds. And we thought, well, that was a nice way to just surprise the listener. So we really liked this song, wanted to do an arrangement of it, and we put that on the CD, just a little bit of fun. And it's got a crazy story behind it, too, that we always like to tell. I guess when Fats Waller wrote that, he was in alimony prison. And that's the way they did things back then. When you know that and listen to it, it makes a little more sense when he talks about being on his shelf, which was his bed, and in by eight when the road crews would come in. And he put it to music and started playing at the speakeasies when he got out and embellished it a little. And at least that's his story. Now, people that know him say he tended to elaborate a little bit on how songs came to be. But we like that story. So that's well, we've got 10 other songs on the CD as well. We've got that one and 10 others that we completed. So it's a good variety and a nice mix. We put a few of our favorites on, and we put a few fan-requested favorites on. So it's a nice mix of what Ragtop sounds like if you come hear us live.
So is that CD out now for purchase or download?
Yes. It's available on our website now. You can get it on our Facebook page or website. The website might be easier. It's myragtop.com. And it has you can listen to the full songs on there before you purchase. You can purchase it as a hard copy CD that will be sent to you, or you can buy it digitally on there as well. So you've got a few options there. But you can listen to it on our website and check us out.
So how many CDs do you have out now?
This is our second one. Our first CD was self-titled. It was just called Ragtop, and we had 7 songs on that. And that one was done in our home studio. And this one is Ragtop 460, Ragtop Route 460. And we did that in a local studio and tried it both ways and really liked doing it in the studio. It was nice not to have to be the engineer and focused on all of that, too, just to go in and do the music. We worked with Fainting Goat Studios in Bedford, Virginia, and they did a great job working with us. So we're real happy with the final product.
And you said that you're performing a lot lately.
Yeah, we're keeping busy. We're still coming right in at about 200 shows a year, which is it's enough. Well, I'm 57 and Renee's 56. That's about enough for us. It's enough to have fun and enjoy it, but not overdo it, you know, because every time we play, we load in and load out. So 200 shows a year is 800 times we handle the gear. So it's about
right.
where we want to be.
So, you know, you're just playing on Roswell, or you're a little bit?
We're a little bit everywhere. We've got a couple agents we're working with this year that are broadening our touring range a little bit, which is really nice. But, our booking information is also available on our website, and we'll travel because we're at an age where we love to do that, and we'd be glad to do that. But we're traveling pretty much through Virginia into North Carolina, a little West Virginia, and down in Tennessee is what's on our schedule right now. But the year is young, and we hope to spread out a little beyond that.
So we're going to play another song you sent, Midnight Train. Midnight Train in Georgia. We're going to play a little bit of that.
Okay, great.
Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, we'll listen to it and then talk a little bit about the song.
Okay. All right, why don't we do that?
Okay, sounds good.
But a one-way ticket back to the life he once knew. Oh, yes, he did. He said he would. Although he's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. He said he's going back to find a simpler place and time. And time's gonna be with him on that midnight train to Georgia.
All right.
Yeah, that's one of the favorites we put on there. That's one we just really enjoy performing.
Right. And any story behind it, or just you did one of the favorites of your listeners?
Interesting enough, I mean, the version that we've worked our arrangement off of course, Gladys Knight and the Pips. That's about 1973, and that's 74. It won a Grammy for them for Best R&B Vocal by a Duo or Group. It's an amazing song. She's got some great harmonies. I guess the interesting story behind that song is it was written by Jim Weatherly, and originally it was a country-style song called Midnight Plane to Houston, which it completely, to me, changes the whole song. But apparently, if I remember the artist right, it was C.C. Houston that wanted to record it, and they just didn't like that phrasing. And Jim Weatherly agreed they could change it to Midnight Train to Georgia, but insisted they change none of the other lyrics. And I think it worked for him. It had more of the feel the song needed. And it's just one that we really enjoy playing, and we like it. We're getting a lot of great response from it, too. People really enjoy it, so we thought that should be on the CD.
You still there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, sorry. We had a little mechanical difficulty here, and I lost you for a moment. All right. the internet. So Jim, can you just, before we go, can you just tell our listeners again how they can find out where you're playing and how they can download your music or purchase your CDs?
Sure. Our website is myragtop.com. That's RAGTOP, like the convertible. And if you go to our website, you can learn everything you want and more about us. You can see our active schedule is there, where we're playing. You can listen to our music from both CDs, purchase music from both CDs, and get some more information. You can see videos of our TV appearances and other information about us, our bios, our backgrounds. So that's the best place to start. And if you're on Facebook, our fan page is My Rag Top.
My Rag Top.
Want to give us a check out on Facebook, too? You'll find us there, too.
Okay, great. And I will post both of those on my web post about this program later tonight, so people can find both of those right there. So thank you once again for coming on the program, and good luck with the new CD and all your performing this year.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much for having us back on the show.
All right, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Carpell.
All right, okay.
Bye.
All right. So before we get knocked off the air, I'm going to let you all know what's happening next week on this program. We'll be back next Sunday. March, joining us again, once again, from Westchester, New York, we'll have certified integral yoga instructor and occupational therapist, Sarah Steinberg, who will be talking about energy medicine, what it is, and some tips for emotional well-being. Also, video editor and singer Priscilla West will be our guest artist, sharing her passion in storytelling through video and song. And Laura Galazinas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Priscilla, you know what's happening with the retirees that are there for the winter and some are there all year. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show and about upcoming shows and the previous shows, read my blog, you can find it all on my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And also all of the website links that my guests spoke about this evening will be posted there later tonight. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook for all the latest news.
Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. You can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/Your Golden Years. The program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, and by Story House. And special thanks to my guests, Kimberly Blanton, and to Jim Oliphant of the group of the duo Rag Top. And thank you to Renee as well, part of Rag Top. And of course, thank you, Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Bought a one-way ticket back to the life he once knew. Oh, yes, he did. He said he would, although he's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. He said he's going back to find, ooh, a simpler place and time. Oh, yeah. And I'm gonna be with him on that midnight train to Georgia.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.